My name is Mike Nowitzki, and this is live from Studio A. We're joined today by Twin Cities-based singer-songwriter Dan Israel, who's on his way up to Papa Charlie's in Lutzen tonight for the songwriter series that they do. Welcome, Dan. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. You said you'd been here before, but it's been
ages.
10 years or so.
A decade or more.
Yeah. Well, it's good to have you back. I know that you've been playing in the area sort of on and off for a while, but it's been a while since we had Gene here, so this is cool.
It has. Thanks for having me back. It's good to be back
here. Yeah. How you doing?
I'm good. It's life has been kind of crazy the last few years, but just put out this new record. Worked really hard on the title. It's called Dan. And anyway,
yeah.
It's my 13th record, so I'm going to probably take a little break here for a little while putting out records. But
13 records
yeah,
is a lot.
It is kind of a lot for some guy you never heard of. But anyway.
Yeah. I mean, it's you have a day job.
I have
that
a day
you
job.
Yep. And you have your music.
And I've got kids.
Your music career is a bit of modest, you know, Midwestern music.
Yeah, I mean,
career.
I'm not out touring too much or, you know.
Right. And but, you know, so 13 albums for a career like that just seems like
ambitious.
If you're not doing it for the money, you know,
I'm doing it because I write songs and I want to release them, you know, to the world.
Yeah.
Or to the few hundred people who buy it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this is what I do and I'll keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
The songs, they flow, usually.
Yeah.
They haven't lately, but.
It's sometimes when I think of an artist who, you know, puts out a record like once every 5 years or something like that, it's kind of like, well, this is everything that I've been working on for the past couple years. But when you have 13 of them, I'm imagining there's probably a lot of songs and a lot of work that you've done sort of simultaneously that ended up on different records. There's probably more of a curation aspect.
It is. It's a jumble. When I go back and look at which songs ended up on which albums, it kind of, chronologically, it doesn't always follow, you know, when they were written or whatever.
Right.
But I don't have too many like unreleased things either. I pretty much, if I finish a song and it's good enough to finish, then I usually, you know, I have unfinished garbage all over the place.
But, right. So this new album, it came out. When exactly did it come out again? I'm sorry,
It came out in December.
It came out in December.
Yep.
So this is a really new album.
Yeah.
It's called Dan.
Yep.
You've had an album before called Dan Who.
I had Dan Who. I had Dan Israel.
You had Danthology.
I had
for
Danthology.
The greatest hits.
So I've kind of exhausted. Enough with my name.
This is
already.
Like, well, this is, what is, what's up, what's up with that?
I don't
it's like
know.
This introspective
I don't like
thing.
Thinking of album titles is what's up with it.
That's
much.
It.
Yeah.
It's not, okay. I was thinking maybe there's some deeper meaning.
No, I'm
here,
not trying to be too cute with it.
Some, like, either self-obsession or self-doubt.
Well,
one of the two.
Probably both of those. I know those are both there. But it's, you know, yeah, I don't like naming albums. I guess that's what it comes down to.
Well, some personal music coming out of it either way. Can we hear a tune?
We sure can.
Let's
this
do
one's
one.
Called You Don't Love Me Anymore. Become obvious to me. Have to be blind not to see. There's nothing here worth salvaging. Might as well go palm that ring. And I'm not clueless. Can't get through this. Tears I had to stop. Inside joke. Have a feel I've had my smoke. You were fast but you cute kids. Life felt hard but life felt lived. And I tried. Sometimes
of me anymore. I follow that rainbow to the ground. A particle I never found. In time, nothing's gonna change your mind. We had so much left to share. I won't try if you don't care. That life is gone now. Nothing will be like it was before. You don't love me. You don't love me. You don't love me anymore. Anymore.
A tune from Dan Israel, live from Studio A, is joining us today. That's a tune from his new album, which is appropriately titled Dan. Just came out in September. I was kind of looking at it the other day. I was listening to it, and I was looking at it, and it seemed, you know, the cover of it seemed pretty innocuous.
Yeah. Did you catch the... Do you know the album Joyce?
That's what I was going to bring up. Is okay. The title didn't really seem to be any, you know, it was kind of neither here nor there. And then I noticed that it was a parody of an album from the 80s, maybe?
It's like from the 70s.
It's like from it's from an era that I think most people would rather forget. It looks like that.
It circulated on the worst album covers list that was kind of going around, like, on Facebook.
Just
a couple
worst
years
album
ago.
Covers?
Yeah. Or like, Joyce Drake. Her name's Joyce. If you want to Google Joyce Drake, and then you can, you know, learn all about the album Joyce that we drew our inspiration from.
It looks pretty hilarious.
It's pretty hilarious.
Well, it's humorous. The cover is humorous. I was looking at the story, it's humorous, but the subject matter of the album...
There's a disconnect, maybe, right? I mean, the cover's funny, but the songs aren't funny.
It's all pretty grim, if that's fair to say.
It's fair.
You mentioned earlier that life's just been a little crazy.
Well, I got divorced. I mean, and so you can hear that in the songs. And I was married for, you know, 16, 17 years, which in rock years is like 50, I think. That joke never seems as funny as when I... But anyway...
You mean are you?
I'm saying that rock and roll marriages don't usually last
very long. Yeah.
But point is, there was a lot of turmoil, and the songs reflect that, you know. But I think that when you say grim, though, I think there's also like there's hope in a lot of it too, and I hope it's not all comes across as like
the fact that you're even able to gather your thoughts about it enough to write a song says that you're.
Yeah, and I'm
dealing with it.
And I don't write well from the depths, the pits of depression. I have to get out of it a little to at least get the perspective to write. Otherwise, you know, when I'm super bummed out, you know, I'm like stuck to a couch. I don't have a guitar writing songs, you know. So I have to get that perspective. And so I also have this desire to write pop songs even when they're sad. So there's this bounce even when I'm talking about, you know, things that are a bummer. I go back to the listening to American Top 40 of my youth and Beatles and whatever first inspired me to pick up a guitar in the first place. And that's part of what inspires me too, not just life events, but love of music, love of pop music, you know, the kind of pop music that I grew up on, not what my kids call pop music.
Right.
Good pop music.
Good pop music.
Yeah.
Like what?
Well, I just mean, you know, I came up, when I say listening to like Casey Kasem in the late 70s, you know, the era of the Bee Gees and all that kind of stuff, you know, Jerry Rafferty or whatever, you know, I mean, it was like folk rock dominating the airwaves. It's amazing to think, but it really was. Yeah. There was a time where acoustic guitars were real present on pop songs on the radio, you know, and melodies that you could sing.
It's interesting because pop is not—it's not really a genre. It's sort of this ever—it's sort of this like this position that certain types of music hold for a while, and then stuff just kind of rotates.
Exactly. What
it,
I mean, if you meet, if by pop you mean what is popular right now,
right.
Then it changes constantly. Mm-hmm. So my conception of pop is what I grew up on, and it has nothing to do with what pop is now.
Well, some good references, nonetheless.
Thank you. Yeah. Thanks. I'm going to play a song that some people have noted. On the album, maybe reminds them a little like the Traveling Wilburys. So
okay.
That's the next song I'm going to play here.
Let's do it.
All right. Everybody knows there's a point you can no longer get past, and then you have to decide. Everybody wants to be wanted, and nobody wants to watch the fun from outside. Once upon a time in a dream, I really knew you. Future looked as bright as the sun. Somewhere in the dust it got lost, and then it threw me. I knew the lonely life had begun. I knew the lonely life had begun. I got here. Don't even know, it ain't clear. I won't even go in my mind to that place that is so unkind. Lately I've been winning at solitaire, even though I haven't got a dog in the fight. People think it's easier than they're welcome to tease me, but I bet they wouldn't make it tonight. Everyone's an expert, they all can do it better. Pretending to accept it is true. It's easier than debating. My patience is fading. Phone's ringing off the hook with the clue. Phone's ringing off the hook with the clue. Which is the way? I don't even know. It's okay. Time will show a path through. The light for me. Everybody knows there's a point you can no longer get past, then you have to undo. Twisting and denying, it's easier than crying. You know it ain't a crime to get through. Everybody's making their plans in competition. I'm tired of living life on the run. Subtraction by addition, don't understand their mission. It doesn't seem to be any fun. No, it doesn't seem to be any fun. No, it doesn't seem to be any fun.
Dan Israel, live from Studio A, passing through today on his way up to Lutzen to play a show at Papa Charlie's tonight. A song there. Another one from the most recent album as well. Correct?
Correct. That is the penultimate song on the album. Second to last.
Okay. That's the flagship tune.
I know. I never know if I used the word penultimate right, but
I knew what you meant.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
So in interviews before, mm-hmm. I sometimes have asked artists about their day jobs, and sometimes that ends up being a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Most often, it usually isn't.
Yeah.
But I saw that someone did a little profile on you.
They did. They did.
And so I figured since you were down for that,
sure.
Maybe you were okay talking about your day job.
I can talk about it a little. It's The tricky thing is my job is a nonpartisan office, so I can't like be polemical in my statements about anything. But I work for the Office of the Reviser of Statutes, which is the office that handles the bills and stuff like that for the House and Senate and the legislature. We prepare bills, we publish the statutes and laws and all kinds of things like that. I've been there 20 years. Any more and your audience would fall asleep if I talked.
Right. Well, I noticed what stuck out about it to me was, hey, this is a job that I didn't even really know existed. It's not one of those things that you think of as like a, oh, you know, can you ask a kid what they want to be when they grow up? I want to be a fireman. I want to be a police. This is a job that kind of like, you know, very specific.
Right. And I didn't expect I would do it when I grew up. And I lived in Austin, Texas, playing music there. And I ended up working for their legislature as a proofreader. And so I came back to Minnesota in the mid-90s looking for a job, in addition to playing music, and found that there was something like that here. So a lot of it's proofreading out loud. I'm kind of in your business just a little as far as my voice is really a big part of my day job, too.
Reading through
every
legal
word,
jargon out
every
loud.
Every word, every punctuation mark, everything.
It seems like... Yeah. One of the most tedious things that I can think of in my mind.
Well, I just as an experiment for you and perhaps the listening audience, if anybody, most people have access to the internet, go to, the homepage of the Minnesota legislature and look for, just start reading statutes out loud to yourself, like, and see how quickly you can't stand it.
Yeah,
and it'll be pretty quick, I think.
And no offense, but you'd think it would be creatively stunting.
It can be. Yeah, it can be. But there's a part of my job that I do some writing there. They're called resolutions. It's sort of like congratulating people around the state for various things. And I actually do the writing of those. So that part is, I would say, probably has made me a little better writer just because I've had to put words together real quickly sometimes. Yeah, it can be numbing. I can come home and just be like, I don't want to hear words. I don't want to hear music. I don't want to hear any sound because that constant stream of proofreading really boring stuff out loud can really make you crazy.
Yeah. Well, I've never met anyone who does that for a living before, so I'm actually kind of fascinated by
it. We can talk more about it off air.
Yeah, yeah, there we go. So one thing that I think would really help sort of tie you to this community is you've done a lot of work with Rich Mattson.
That's right.
That's part of Sound.
Yeah.
Have you known him for a while? Or?
I've known Rich a long time. And my first record when I first moved back to the Twin Cities in the mid-90s, I did most of that record with Rich when Rich was down there. And that was called Before We Met. Did a few of the tracks with my current drummer, Dave Russ, but that was mostly done with Rich. And then I went like this long period of time where, you know, Rich and I were friends, but I didn't work with him, you know, musically. And then a few years ago, I came up to Sparta to do my previous record, Live On. We did all the basic tracks up there and some of the overdubs. And then this latest record, Dan, we did all the basic tracks up there too. And we did the overdubs down in the cities with Dave Russ, my drummer. So it was kind of a split deal. But the you know, beginnings of both of my last two records, the whole skeleton was done up here on the range.
Okay. Who else worked on the record with you?
Well, there's a lot of guests on the last couple records. The core band, is Dave Russ, my drummer, and Mike Lane, the bass player, and Jim O'Neill, the keyboard player. Also Pete Sands, keyboard player, who's... plays with Adam Levy and the Honey Dogs, and then
he was just sitting here a couple months ago.
He's been just put out a record and is touring, and then people like Dave Boquist was on this new record, and three excellent female singers, Katie Garrity, Andra Suki, and Bethany Larson, and also Dave Russ's wife Jenny. There's a lot of great female singers on this last record, so. Tons of people. Dan Neal, Paul Odegaard. I'm forgetting people now, but a lot of guests.
As a whole, are you happy with the way it turned out?
Yeah, these last two records, doing it this... I don't know if it's the case of doing it this way, coming up to the range to do the basics and doing the rest down there. I don't know, but it seems like a good formula. Plus, my mom is from Virginia, Minnesota, so Rich is in Eveleth, and it's like there seems like a homecoming aspect to it, too, just to come... up to the where my mom is from, and you know, where some other guy was from around there too. Yeah. Played folk music. Can't remember his name. I think he was born here in Duluth. Anyway, that kind of stuff.
Well, I thought I'd bring that in just because so many KUMD listeners and musicians we play have, you know and have recorded with Rich. And
he's just a great guy to work with. I can't say enough good things about Rich. And he didn't just record the records. I mean, he contributed musically, playing bass, playing guitar, coming up with ideas. He's a very creative, positive person to work with. And his girlfriend Jermaine is very welcoming. That, you know, it's like coming into their studio is also coming into their home. So they feed you, and I slept above the control room in the studio, and it felt just great experience.
Sounds like the life.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. It really is. Rock and roll summer camp.
Let's do it. Let's do one more song.
Okay. Well, this is not about summer. This is about winter. This song, and I didn't even know it was a line from Game of Thrones or whatever. Winter is coming is what it's called. But anyway, I've been told that a lot now. But winter is here. Winter is coming. It's time to stop running. Hunker down and settle in. If fate has waylaid you and this life betrayed, what can you do but give in? Yeah, what can you do but give in? We started strong, but events came along. We couldn't get back to the start. Was it one thing that made us shed these rings? It was just time that broke us apart. It was just time that broke us apart. And all that you dream is forgotten. High hopes have been flattened down. All you can do is keep walking with your eyes on the uncertain ground. Winter is coming, this song you've been humming. It's all that you got, not a hold. Try to discern what you did to deserve this. Find yourself out in the cold. So many plans never realized, so many designs unfulfilled. Hard to believe those were dreamlike. You couldn't make real with your will. But what choice have you got but to make your peace with the change? Gotta make your peace with the change.
Winter Is Coming by Dan Israel, live from Studio A off of his recent album. Dan, he's on his way up to Lutzen tonight. He's playing at Papa Charlie's for the Monday Night Songwriter Series that they do. You know, we had Jim and Terry Walsh in here a couple weeks ago. They expressed how, you know, how they love to play at Papa Charlie's, and they say that the guys who own it have created a really great space and great sort of environment for...
It's a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it. I love those guys, by the way.
Yeah.
The Walshes.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah.
With Martin, was Martin and...
Martin Devaney was here as
and
well.
And Doug Collins.
And Doug Collins. They
okay.
all came. Yeah.
yeah.
The
yeah.
Mad Ripple Hootenanny. The current lineup
that's
of the Mad Ripple Hootenanny.
That's a good hoot.
Yeah.
It's a good hoot.
It was a great hoot, for
yeah.
sure. But, yeah, they said it's great, so I don't know if you've been there recently, but...
A couple years ago. Yeah, it's okay. been a couple years, but I'm looking forward to going back.
Yeah.
So.
And after 13 albums, you might be taking a little break here.
Well...
Maybe.
You never
Maybe
know. Not. I say that every time I put out a record. Somehow I end up writing more tunes, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this was great. Thanks for having me on. I
appreciate thanks for being here, Dan. That was a lot of fun.
All right, Mike.
Today's Live from Studio A session was produced by Christine Dean, Aaron Welch, Cheyenne Vavrina, myself, Mike Nowitzki, and video assistant Quentin Stilley. To check out upcoming guests or listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Live from Studio A under Programs. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.